Good morning and welcome to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN 95.1 The One at AM 1080. It's just a minute after 10 o'clock. Good morning. What's shaking, Bacon? What's happening? Oh, yeah, just keep that alma mater just a rocking and rolling, baby. Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Good program, I think, going on today. We're going to talk about The Great Gatsby 100 years later. Actually, we're going to talk with Sherry Setchell, the director of the spring play coming up in just a couple of weeks. Not even a couple of weeks, really. And then we're going to talk to, I believe, Josh Spitzak from the baseball team, find out what's going on with the Raiders baseball team. And then we'll do a Meet the Raider. We got an awesome match rate coming on this morning as well with Grant Selkel, and we'll get all that information out of the way as well just very, very, very shortly. Just a quick look at a forecast this morning. It's going to be absolutely beautiful today, but yeah, there's some of the doggone showers rolling in. But today is the day, baby. Sunshine, a high of 62. Boom, boring. That's it. And then for tonight, though, 60% chance of some showers or thunderstorms, cooling off to right around 47, maybe a tenth to a quarter of an inch throughout the overnight. Then tomorrow, a chance of showers. It's going to be kind of blustery, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. It's going to warm up to around 64. Those southeast winds at a 10 to 15 gusts to 30 to 40 miles an hour. We'll see how that all pans out. But batten down the hatches, boys and girls, for Sunday night. Chance of showers, about an 80% chance of some showers, cooling off to only around 56. And then for Monday, it looks like we got a 90% chance of some rain and or thunderstorms, maybe an inch, tenth to about a quarter of an inch as well. This is for Monday, high near 76. It's going to be breezy again, though. It's going to be plenty of south winds whipping up, 15 to 20 with gusts 30 to 40 miles an hour on Monday. So tomorrow and Monday, pretty breezy out. But for now, currently, wow, look at the sunshine. Sunshine on my shoulder. Make me happy. 59 degrees currently in the Cannon Valley. Hey, what's going on with the Raider scoreboard? Let's find out. Liz Campbell popped her head in here. Hey, it's prom day today. I want to wish all the promstas to have some fun today. Enjoy your life. Enjoy the junior and senior prom. Be careful, of course, you know. Look both ways before you cross the street. So, needless to say, the prom's going on, and Liz was able to pop in earlier this morning, give us a little update of what's happening with the Raider scoreboard. So, Liz, what do we know about the activities throughout the week?
Hello and good morning. Welcome back to this week's Raider Sports Scoreboard. I am Liz Campbell. The Raiders had a very busy week of sports this week, so I am just going to rattle these off for you guys this morning just to try and keep it fairly brief. Starting off the week for Raider sports, the boys' tennis team had a triangular meet this past Monday against Albert Lea in Rochester, Mayo. The results are Mayo 7, Northfield 0, and Mayo 7, Albert Lea 0, so it looks like Mayo just swept them all out. They competed again the next day against Mankato East, and they rounded off their week against Mankato West last night. The girls' golf team headed into their long week of competition and had a triangular meet on Monday against Red Wing and Rochester JM. They won the meet and had a team score of 354. They competed in the Big Nine Conference Tournament on Thursday, winning the meet and getting first in the conference. Karina Johnson got first overall with a 75. The boys' golf team competed against Red Wing and Rochester JM on Monday. Will Cashin led the Raiders with a 71, and the team shot a 297. They got right back into it the next day on Tuesday, tying Rochester Mayo for first place at the Egan Invite. Elias Eckern led the team with a score of a 70. They had the Big Nine Conference Tournament on Thursday, getting second place, shooting a team score of 307. Our softball team had a big game against Stuartville on Monday, losing 6-5. They turned right around and played the next day against Rochester Mayo, pulling off a huge win with a score of 10-2. Boys lacrosse had a game on Monday, facing off against Lakeville South, losing 14-7. Grant Selko had 3 goals on the night, and Oliver Peterson had 2. They had a quick turnaround and played Mankato the next day on Tuesday, winning 11-4. Freshman Oliver Peterson had another outstanding game, scoring 4 goals. They had a day off on Wednesday and got right back to competing on Thursday with a game against Farmington, losing a tough game 13-2, as they usually do to Farmington. Ben Bradley and Bridger Riley scored the Raiders 2 goals. The Raider girls lacrosse team had a game against Mankato on Monday, losing a very close game 8-7. Claire Homan scored 4 goals for the Raiders. They finished off the week last night against Lakeville North, losing 17-3. The boys' track team competed in Austin on Tuesday, facing off against 2 teams they have already raced against this year, Austin and Mankato East. Savion Severson got first in the 100-meter dash and is now ranked 3rd in the state of Minnesota. And the boys' 4x2 relay got 2nd and is now ranked 7th in the state, so congratulations to them. The girls' track team also ran against Austin and Mankato East on Thursday, and they now have their 4x8 relay ranked 16 in the state. Sydney Livingston had a season PR in the 100 hurdles and is now 17th in the state. Emily Beham is ranked 8th in the state in the 300 hurdles, which she went to state for last year, and Micaiah Patrika is 12th in the state in the 800 as a freshman. The Raider boys baseball team had their first game of the week on Tuesday against Rochester Mayo, beating the Spartans 6-2. They played again last night in Kasson, losing 3-2 in favor of Kasson. Rounding us out on the sports scoreboard today, cancellations and postponements due to weather from this past Thursday include a boys tennis match against Winona rescheduled to May 5th, boys baseball game rescheduled to an undecided date, and softball rescheduled to May 3rd. That is all on this morning's Raider Sports Scoreboard. Keep tuning in to KYMN 95.1, The One, for more sports.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Hi, this is Paul Ryland from Johnson Ryland Builders. I want to take a moment today to reintroduce you to our Bluffview neighborhood. We are excited to let you know that in 2025, we are in full swing. We've completed the first 10 homes and it's turning into a great neighborhood within our community. We presently have 4 homes for sale that are in various stages of completion, including our model home that is available Friday through Sunday each week. The best home sites always sell first, so come today. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your dreams.
Hey, welcome back to the Raider Wrap. A little snooze there. Sherry Setchell is the director of this year's spring play, and it is called The Great Gatsby. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am glad to have you here. We haven't had the opportunity to speak ever before. In the 40 years that I've been on radio, I've never had you. No, that's not 40 years, but people like to tend to think I've been around way too long. But you tell me a little bit about Sherry. Where are you from? What's happening? How did you get involved? Where are you from? How'd you get into theater?
I am originally from Omaha, Nebraska, and I got into theater like a lot of kids in that there was nothing else I could do.
In Omaha?
Come on. No, I just...
Telling me watching Corn Girl is boring in Omaha?
It was highly entertaining, but after a while, the mind seeks more stimulation.
Especially after they detassel it.
It's just boring. After the detasseling, yes. There's nothing else to look forward to.
Omaha.
I mean, the sunsets get a little more visible at one point, so I guess that becomes exciting.
Did you stop and watch them?
Absolutely.
Okay, good for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The high school I went to is actually quite close to a large cornfield.
Very nice.
Several farms, and so there was a lot of beauty out there in that sparseness.
So high school, and then did you go to college for theater?
I went to college with the intention of doing theater, and I went to McAllister, and by the time I signed up for classes, all of the theater classes were full and taken, and I had also had the intention of getting my education degree to do secondary education in English, And so I kind of leaned hard into that, decided not to take on theater. And I did little projects off and on throughout my college time there. I did a couple of small shows. I actually directed my first show as part of my classics major. I was a classics and English double major. So I directed a show for my project senior year. I danced a little bit when I was in college.
Yeah, but everyone does that on Friday and Saturday nights. Yeah. Even though it's on top of the tables, you know.
Right,
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all good. It's all good. It was Highland dance, though.
Oh,
so,
there
you know.
Are. Yeah.
Really. Yeah, it was very, very athletic, and I loved it. But again, I am not a super athletic person and chose to leave that behind. But mostly, you know, I'm known in town as a dancer primarily. A lot of people don't know that I've been directing the show at the high school since 2008. And I do it every spring, and I love it. It's
and
great.
The first I've had to get you on the program.
Yeah.
Busy girl. Busy,
yes,
busy,
very
busy.
Busy.
Why Omaha to McAllister?
My grandparents lived in St. Louis Park and in Buffalo when I was growing up. They, of course, were from Omaha also, but moved up here for my grandfather's job. And I just always loved Minnesota. It's so beautiful up here. Every year when it gets to be spring, I just always marvel at how gorgeous it is up here. The Midwest is just such a special, there's something about it that I love, and Upper Midwest especially. And I really appreciated kind of the more progressive values of Minnesota. And so that was one of the reasons that attracted me to move here and to go to McAllister and partake in like just the culture up here. The way everybody is a lot more open in Omaha and Nebraska, it's different. It's a little bit more closed. People are a little bit more like suspicious of each other. No, that's not true at all. But just it's a great
what
place
is,
to grow
what is
up
Nebraska, St. Louis, or Missouri is the show me state. What is Nebraska?
Nebraska. Well, that's a good question.
Keep your mouth shut and don't look at me,
don't
state.
Look, or exactly. Like,
don't you look at me, state.
Mind your own business.
Go back to the corn, children.
Yeah, It's a very different vibe. I love going back there. They've grown. Omaha's grown so much. It was a cool place in some spots when I was growing up, but now I think it's just a really great place to go. And I encourage people to go visit there. The food, I've always talked up the food in Omaha, even when I was in high school and college. It's a really great place to go eat. You would not believe the number of incredible restaurants in Omaha. It's kind of wild.
It is. It's actually, yeah, it's become a kind of a tourist attraction, actually. And
yeah.
Years ago, it was kind of like, I don't know, maybe kind of going to like New Ulm or something. But now it's,
yes, exactly.
You know, now it's like Duluth. I mean, it's got some good attractions. It's got some fun stuff to go see.
Yeah.
You could spend a couple of days in the city of
Omaha. Yeah, they've developed the riverfront over by the old market, and it's absolutely stunning.
Right.
St. Paul could definitely take a couple pages out of the Book of Omaha and do some good for their downtown.
St. Paul could take the page out of a couple of places. Omaha one, Milwaukee another one.
Yeah, Milwaukee.
Another fantastic river.
Love Milwaukee.
Yeah, fantastic. So you came to McAllister, did your thing, got out of college, you're 20-something, and you're ready to go.
Yes. And to Los Angeles.
Oh, well, there you go. Theater?
No, again,
movies?
TV?
Were you on Johnny Carson? I missed it?
Yeah, I think Johnny Carson was done by the time we moved out to LA.
David Letterman. Did you get to David Letterman? Okay.
No, that's New York, right?
Well, he was, wasn't he? Or was he in New York? And
then
now they're in, I don't know, Jimmy Kimmel's taking his place.
Oh, yeah,
and
they're all over the place.
Who knows? They might be doing it in their basement for all we know.
Yeah, I had wanted to be a filmmaker. That was one of the many things that I looked at doing, not just in as an actor, but I really wanted to be a film director for a long time. That also didn't materialize. We moved out to Los Angeles for my husband to go to grad school.
Mm.
And so he went to UCLA with the initial intention of getting, you know, a classics PhD, but ended up getting a master's in library science at their amazing program out there. And we just had we were out there for 4.5 years. We had a great time. We met a lot of incredible people. I worked a regular office job for a billionaire when we lived out there, and I did web design, and I was in that like early wave of early internet adopters, and so it was a wild ride. But I danced while we were out there, and just met a lot of incredible people. It was a blast. It was a blast. But it was time to come home. It was time to come back.
So how'd you get back here? Your husband and you both just decided let's go back, or was there opportunities here?
It was a little bit of both. Again, there's a the the thing about Los Angeles where if you stay there for more than 5 years, you're stuck there forever.
And it's because you can't afford to get out of there.
Yeah, you can't afford to leave. We were so, it was such a charmed time in our life. We got a rent-controlled apartment in Laurel Canyon, and it was amazing. Like, our landlord lived in Palm Springs, so he had no idea, and it was so incredibly, ridiculously affordable to live where we lived.
Nice.
And, but our building got bought. And the guy who moved in was not interested in us staying there. So he paid us to leave. I mean, it was just this perfect opportunity. He paid us to leave. Michael, my husband, worked at Carlton briefly. And so they paid us to move here. And everything just sort of unfolded from there.
Nice. Yeah. And was that in around 2008 then?
Actually, 2001 we moved here. Yeah, we've been here for a long time.
Okay, so then 2001. So how did you get involved in 2008 to the theater?
Well, it was the route through, I worked at the Arts Guild as an instructor. I taught first for their Young People's Theater Workshop, and then I taught dance there for a while, and eventually became the choreographer for Rock and Roll Revival at the high school, and that was in 2003, and did that for a while, directed a couple of shows at the Arts Guild. And then the amazing Kevin Dahl got elected and was not able to continue to direct the show at the high school. And because of that, I was kind of pulled in at the very last minute to direct in 2008.
And you haven't turned back since?
No, I have not.
Where is Dahl at? Is he like going, hey, come on, let me back in?
I did think that after, I kind of was watching, you know, watching the clock and waiting for him to be like, I really want this gig back.
Right.
Because he was so good at it. And I think the kids really liked having him there. But now they're stuck with me instead.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, rumor has it it's not too bad. Mm-hmm. Working for a billionaire.
Yes.
And then you just happen to be putting on a play called The Great Gatsby, which is, who chooses the plays every year?
I do.
Okay.
I choose my own spring
show.
Why
The Great Gatsby, Sherry?
There were a lot of things that led to me pick. I'm sorry, I used that word things. Apologies twice again. Oh my gosh, my sophomore year high school English teacher would be just looking at me
things?
So disapprovingly. Yes. There were a lot of reasons why I chose this show. I look at several plays before I make my selection. And this year, I had trouble kind of finding something that felt like a good fit for the number of kiddos. I wanted to have a show that had a lot of actors in it to help grow our program and to help just support people who want to do theater, who aren't necessarily always in theater, because that's one of my favorite kinds of people to work with, is people who are new to this experience. And I couldn't find it. I was going through one of the sites that I look at frequently, and I saw this adaptation, which is actually called Careless People, A Great Gatsby. And I thought, wow, like, I loved this book in high school, and I still love it. And I love both of the wild movies that have been made of it. I love the themes around it. And I realized, oh, wow, it's the 100th anniversary. And so it's kind of now or never. It's a significant mm-hmm. time to do it. And it feels like a lot of the themes in there are really, really prescient right now. And they mean a lot and have been bringing up some really good conversations. And that that possible English teacher in me has come out many times during rehearsal. I wish sometimes we had more time to talk about the different ideas and concepts that come up that Fitzgerald's presenting to us and that the characters give us. But we haven't had time. It's a heavy lift. The show's been a very heavy lift.
He wrote the book, you know, I mean, it was over 100 years ago. So
yeah.
It was
yeah.
the 1920s, the roaring 20s, as they say, mm-hmm. which is kind of funny because you talk about the increase in wealth and the different things that were happening in the 20s and then mm-hmm. boom, depression sets in.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, yeah. be careful what you ask for. But who gets to play Nick Carraway?
Oh, Jake Parker, who is a phenomenal actor. He's been in several shows that I've directed. He's been in Rock and Roll Revival, opened the Rock and Roll Revival show last year, and just a really fine actor. And so we've been, again, taking a lot of time to ask good questions about things. Nick's a complicated character, and he's he thinks highly of himself in a lot of ways. And so we've been talking about how he's not a reliable narrator. I think that's
so
a common theme.
Yeah. Nick Carraway is the commentator. So
yes,
the
yeah.
play kind of opens up and I was walking through the city of New York.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So is he actually involved in it or is he just standing in a pulpit and just kind of narrate throughout the whole thing?
The way the play, one of the things that appealed to me about the play specifically is the way it's written. It's very much a dream play. And the way Catherine Funkhauser is the person who did the adaptation, and the way she weaves together his narration with the scenes as they're going on is really quite extraordinary. It's really well done. And we're working. That's been one of our challenges, is how to distinguish, like, here's where Nick is narrating and, like, here's where Nick is moving into this scene. And, you know, he's in every scene that happens. And so finding how we can do that through blocking, through shifting, it's there's no set for the show. It's just bits and pieces of furniture that get moved from place to place to inhabit these things.
So no backdrops like the city, and then you'd backdrop it to a restaurant and then you backdrop it to something. No.
No, nothing like that at all.
Just a blank backstop then,
yep,
like black curtains?
Yeah, we're going to do some rear projection with a few different things, and that's going to be really cool. Liam Fisher's been working on that for me, but really it's just boxes, tables, chairs.
You mean acting?
Yeah, so acting.
You mean dramatic acting? My goodness.
A lot of the burden is on the kiddos, but that's...
No CGI.
None at all. No stunt people. Even actually,
no explosions.
We have a couple of stunts in our show, believe it or not. And Sam Mastin actually came and helped us with a little bit of fight choreography. We have some other kind of fun surprises that happen.
So any explosions? Come here. Is there anything blowing up on stage?
Nothing blowing up except for the action and the energy
and the audience at the end.
Yeah,
yes. So, how long is it?
The show?
Yeah.
It's, well...
Give or take.
It's been running a little long. But I'm hoping it will come in around a little over 2 hours,
okay.
I think, is where we'll
Will that be a timing issue, or is that... is it a three-act play?
It's a two-act play.
Okay,
yeah, so it's a two-act play, so really it's about...
So they get a bathroom break.
They will get a bathroom break. That has been an issue for a couple of our humans, because some of them are on stage all the time. And, like, one of those goofy things about being a performer when you're in a show is, for me, this is so silly and totally TMI, but like I plan when I'm gonna run to the loo. Like I'm just like, okay, I have time in between here and here, and I'm gonna go. And man, if you're on stage all the time, it really is something you have to think about and plan.
Well, now, so one of the biggest deals was you could always tell in radio when the DJ was going to the bathroom.
Yes,
because there would be a break in the action, and then the longest song at the time would be playing. So Meatloaf, 8:40.
Yes.
You always knew when they played Meatloaf, the DJ went to the bathroom, had a smoke, or did whatever they did back then.
Paradise by the Dash for Light. Yeah.
So I don't know. So is there a bathroom close by over the stage?
Yes.
Because we didn't, our stage, when I was in high school, our stage was in the auditorium section, but you had to leave the auditorium, go down the hallway, around the corner, down to the locker room to get to the bathroom to go to, you know what I mean? That was the closest one. So it's kind of the same thing. We kind of had to, you had to time it. It's like, okay, you literally have 2:20. Boom, and you go.
They are fortunate enough to have dressing rooms right backstage.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, which is really nice. It's better than it is at the Guild, man. You really have to time it out at the Guild.
Yeah.
And then pray nobody else is in the bathroom.
Right. It seems, what are they talking about? Well, it's a part of life, people.
These are the backstage things that I think when people see theater, they're like, oh, it's this beautiful facade of all these kids. They're working so hard and they're doing this, and it's like, but what really is happening is somebody up there is thinking, like, I'm really thirsty. Like, that's another thing. Like, I always have my water bottle in a very specific spot backstage.
Well, it's just there's a lot of nuances that happen in theater, which is kind of fun. And and I always, as a child, I always wanted to be in kind of that entertainment kind of side of things. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't do anything until I was a junior in high school. And then I fell in love again with it because just the students, to me, what was beautiful about that was some of the most creative, intelligent, funny people were in theater.
Oh, yeah.
And you always thought that they were the kind of the geeky nerds and whatever deal is back when I was growing up. That's, you know, it was like, oh, look at that, a theater geek over there, you know, weirdo. They ended up, I ended up being becoming really good friends with a lot of those people, and it's just the creativity and everything. But there's so much. You could break a shoelace back there. You could forget a prop. You're going to hit the stage. You can't find your prop. Something happened. You tore your sleeve, and it's like you're going on in 30 seconds. Somebody's trying to safety pin you together. You're yes. losing your mind, and then you hit the stage, and it's, hello there.
Yeah.
How are you? You know, but yeah. if there's a lot of, I guess there's a lot of education when it comes to, you know, real life kind of situation, because you literally, everything is timing in these presentations. But if your shirt blows out,
yeah,
you're freaking.
I had a kiddo opening night we got this beautiful vintage suit, and every night he kept doing this movement, and I was like, you know, eventually those pants are gonna split. No, they'll be fine. I'm like, those pants, they're gonna split.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, they'll be fine. Opening night, right away, first scene, boom, the pants split. And again, this young man was a complete professional, like absolutely professional. But who really saved the day was the two young women backstage, who the second they knew it happened, they went into the costume room and started pulling out pants to change him into. Because, again, this was a person, he was on stage almost the whole time.
Right.
And they were backstage waiting with a pair of pants, ready to take his shoes off. Like, the whole thing that went down before he went back there was incredible.
Yeah, and they did it without direction. They just did it.
That's the beauty. And that's what I love. We talk a lot about self-responsibility, take care of it yourself, like take care of yourself first, and then take care of each other. You know, yes, you have to know when you need to be on stage, but if you know somebody else needs a little support around that, you can go nudge them and just be like, hey, it's your turn to be on. Or if you see somebody's pants rip, go grab other pants.
Right.
Or if you know their shoelace ripped, like, go. I mean, there's so many things. I had a young person who was in a show several years ago talking about how she learned from a moment when she went backstage and this costume piece she was expecting to be there was not there.
Right.
And how she managed that. And it really, as you said, it kind of prepares these kids for life and for those unexpected moments.
Unexpected,
and
absolutely.
You have to handle them with grace and ease. And, you know, you can have all the people in the world around you to support you, but ultimately it's like you are the one that has to manage it, and you're the one that has to drive it. And how beautiful we get that lesson so immediately, so often in theater.
And I think situational awareness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be paying attention the entire time. That's the whole thing. You're not just taking care of yourself. You're not just looking at yourself. It is a presentation. So it's a true reflection on you, mm-hmm. however that comes off, right? So if you're just minding your own business and you're just blah, 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 mm-hmm. you just got your headphones on, you're just chilling, and something happens, you don't pay attention, I mean, that doesn't help. So everybody as a whole, situational awareness, everyone is watching. Everyone's paying attention to what's
yes,
happening. And when
yeah.
they see something like that,
yeah.
it's like, we've got to do something.
Yeah.
Because this reflects on all of us.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
If one fails, we all fail.
Right.
Kind of a deal. You know, that team,
yeah,
that real
sure.
team. Kind of
yeah.
thing. That's another part that I love so much about it, is because everybody is... You know, if you miss a line, somebody would somehow nudge you into it, or they would drop
yeah.
something,
yes.
you know, drop a word in some way where like,
yes.
yeah, that's what I was supposed to say. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what I mean? But it's subtle and nobody knows that it's happening, but
right.
it's really happening. So everyone's
yeah.
looking out for each other. I really like that.
Yeah. I love that aspect of theater, is that it is, Ray Coudray talks about that when we do Rock and Roll Revival, like everybody's a varsity athlete, like, and everybody wins at the end, like everybody wins, and how great that feels. And that's that old cliche, like, there are no small parts, only small actors. And I really believe that every single person on stage is incredibly critical to what's going on, because you never know who is going to save the day or who's going to elevate your show that little bit. I did Harvey back in 2019, which is one of my favorite shows. I absolutely love it. And there was, again, one young person at the very end of the show who came in, and there was this very kind of quote unquote minor character, but man, they knocked it out of the park and just added that emotional core to the show that really drove the whole thing home and really, really just lifted up the performance at the end of it all, that it made it so much more rich and so much more significant. So, you know, I always have kiddos who are like, I want to lead, or I want this. And I'm like, I really need you supporting this. I talked to them too about support precedes movement, and like, you gotta be good support. We need you here. And for this show especially, like, everybody's moving stuff.
Right.
So everybody, except for the, like, a couple of principals, everybody's moving set. So they're moving windows, they're moving chairs, and just how elegantly they've all started working together so that now, instead of being like, and it's like, oh, we're moving this chair at the same time, and look at how beautifully choreographed it is. And they figured a lot of that out on their own, and how again, it's very frustrating being in this part of rehearsal. It's always frustrating. The week before tech, it's just, it's always miserable. It's always difficult. It's always mysterious. There's this mystery. How is it going to come together? Because we know on opening night, it's going to come together.
Right.
We just don't know how we're going to get there.
You mean you hope.
Yeah, you hope.
I mean, it will, but you still hope. There's somewhere like, oh, God, please. You know, we could talk all day, and you and I know that.
Yeah.
But so the play is actually on the 8th.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Thursday. The 8th, 9th, and 10th. Yeah, okay, we open on a Thursday. We get one weekend.
Okay.
Yes.
So the 8th, 9th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
So there's three shows. Mm-hmm. Where can you get tickets?
You can get tickets, I believe, at the activities office, or just get them on the night of the show right at the box office.
You don't think we're going to pre-sell them out, huh?
I wish.
Come on,
I wish.
Hey, come on, people. Get off the couch.
Get
go buy a
there.
Ticket to Great Gatsby. Well, yeah, my goodness.
Yeah, come support.
We could talk
these
a
kids.
Lot about the Great Gatsby and the program itself. Mm-hmm. There's a whole conversation on that all by itself. There's a conversation about everybody that's in there, the theater, the everything, and what's, you know, there's so much to talk about. I don't know what your schedule is going to be back in the near future, but today's prom, so you've got, are you chaperoning today? Are you?
No.
No.
That would be awesome. I'd love to chaperone.
You're just taking a break
year.
Today or what?
Yeah, today I'm here with you. I'm going to go home, or actually I'm going to hang out with family downtown for a little while and go home and get some work done on the show.
Okay.
So type up some notes for this amazing cast so they can keep growing and do a few other things.
So May 8th is only, well, today's what, the 26th already?
Yeah.
So you're just not even, you're 10 days out.
Yeah, we're very
you
close.
Ready?
We're getting there. We're getting there. Well, you know, it's because it's spring. These kids, they have so much going on.
Prom,
yeah.
Then graduation's coming.
Yeah, we've had to flex a lot more this year than I was anticipating, because I have choir kids who are gone for their big choir things, or they're gone for, they were on choir tour this year, which I did not anticipate. So we lost a couple days from that. It's just, there's so much going on that we have to weave and bob in the spring in a way I think we don't have to in the fall.
Okay.
Yeah.
How big is that? How many people can you put in that auditorium?
350.
Full house.
Full house, yeah.
Standing room only, 350?
Standing room only, 350.
Wink, 400?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. I don't mind throwing chairs in the back, that's for sure.
let's throw some chairs in the back, people, shall we?
Yes.
The Great Gatsby is the theater, and it is for the Northfield High School, and Sherry Setchell is our guest this morning, and I thank you so much for coming in. I've only got so much time every day, so I appreciate you coming in. I'd love to get you back in here. Either I know next week is probably impossible. Obviously, the following week is the play, but that's not at night. Can't sneak in on the 10th for a little bit.
In the morning. Oh my gosh! I wish I actually have rehearsal for something else that morning.
Come on. Life is about. We just talked about situational awareness and being aware. Like,
oh,
you know, that we're gonna, fine. No pressure.
I would love to be on again. Right. Thanks for having me.
Maybe after it's done, so that we can say, yeah, it was great. You should have been there.
Yeah, you should have been there. These are amazing, absolutely amazing actors. And please come take the time to see their work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sherry, thank you. I'm glad we got it finally, since 2008. I'm glad you finally made it to the studios to talk about this. But I seriously want to talk more about what we have coming up. Maybe in the spring, in the fall, next year, whatever the deal is. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be, Rock and Roll Revival again next year?
Yes, yeah.
So you get a combination of the two. So there's so much we could talk about, which we need to do.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's called the Raider Rap because you're part of the Raiders.
Yes, go Raiders!
Go Raiders! That's what I'm saying. Sherry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. We are going to take a break, and we're going to get her back on here. This has been fun. We're going to get Sherry back on here one of these days, but if you want to listen back, you can go to kymnradio.net. I've got Mr. Spitzak with the baseball team. Should be rolling in here, and that'll be next here on the Raider Wrap on 95.1, the 1 and AM 1080 KYMN.
Your business is a vital piece of the Northfield area economy, and the economic health of the business community is vital to your business. Stay connected by becoming a member of the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce. They can help you forge relationships and partnerships that can take your business to the next level. Networking events are great opportunities to get your business in front of new people and make strong connections with other Northfield business owners. The Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce knows how important your business is to our economy, and they want to help you stay connected. Go to northfieldchamber.com, sign up, and take your business to the next level.
Minnesota Matters is an award-winning weekly 30-minute public affairs show featuring noted academics, authors, politicians, and business leaders engaging in common-sense conversations. Anchored by Minnesota News Network's Tasha Radel, Minnesota Matters was named the winner for Best Public Affairs Programming in 2023 by the National Association of State Radio Networks. Find Minnesota Matters at minnesotanewsnetwork.com. Minnesota Matters, serving the North Star State with the news and information you need.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
Save water, save money, and help the environment with Northfield's Water Conservation Rebate Program. Get rebates for upgrading to water-efficient appliances like washers, shower heads, toilets, and irrigation controllers. To apply, purchase a qualifying appliance, install it, take a photo, and submit your rebate form, receipt, and photo to the City of Northfield. Learn more at northfieldmn.gov/rebates. That's northfieldmn.gov/rebates.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bruss, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Hey, welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN. Glad you could join us. Our opening guest, of course, Sherry Setchell, the director of this year's play for the Northfield High School. It's called The Great Gatsby. It starts on the Thursday, May 8th, I think it's 7 o'clock at night. So they'll have performances on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So get your tickets. You can get them in advance from the high school, or you can, on the day of the show, you can stop in there. So it does have 350 people total, so it will sell out. Hopefully it sells out fast. I hope they completely sell it out. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, a big production again. So Sherry's very well adapt to that because she does the Rock and Roll Revival, which is also a huge presentation for the Northfield High School students and or actor actresses. And a big deal is, of course, the baseball team. And Josh Spitzak joins me this morning. Josh, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you doing?
You got a game? You got a couple games? No, you don't. There's no game today.
No
game today. No game. No practice. What's up? What is Josh going to do with himself?
It's one of the few days the rest of the year we don't probably have a game with the way things are kind of getting backed up. We've had a few games postponed, and so the schedule is going to get real busy in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
So you kind of swept through sections. I won't say swept through, but you got through sections last year, and you had a pretty good showing. You had a pretty good baseball team. You guys got in the state tournament there, so that's always an exciting time. What are we looking at this year? Are we looking at maybe a strong team again, strong showing?
Yeah, the guys, and you know, I think we came in with high expectations this year. You know, it was a great experience, and a lot of these guys were a part of that last year. And with what we had coming back, and some of our younger guys stepping in, we felt like we had a good, talented group. So, you know, right away, day one, they were kind of, the mindset was, we want to try to get back there. And they have that mentality. And so, you know, we'll that's the hope, obviously, is we're playing our best baseball again at the end of the season and make a little run there.
Well, and it's early in the season. And the funny thing about spring sports, I mean, actually, you guys have probably been, what have you guys been practicing for, like 5 weeks now?
Yeah, we start about the middle of May, middle of March.
But the kids do, you don't, right? Or does that include coaches' practices as well?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So it really, but it's now it's the end of April, but there was a lot of practice in between. And then, yes, there was a couple of postponements. And I'm guessing, was it more the temperature, or was it because, I mean, we didn't have a lot of snow.
No.
It was a little on the chilly side, I guess. Or is it
I
just...
guess we've kind of... Couple game days, we've been hit with the rain, so we've kind of been unlucky because we've had some nice days of practice, and then we're
right?
stuck on game days.
Great day for baseball.
Yeah.
Oop.
Yeah.
Like today. Today's beautiful.
Today would be a great
64
day.
Degrees, sunshine, no wind. My God, a great day for baseball.
Yep.
You sure? Maybe we should call the kids up. Let's go hit some balls.
I think they're a little busy today with prom.
I don't know. Isn't that crazy? We were just talking with Sherry, same thing. It's like it used to be, you know, prom was at night, and you basically showed up, for the grand march, whatever it was. You kind of got ready, and you went. But now it's this whole... It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday preparation, get ready to go kind of a thing.
It's a big event, that's for sure.
It's a big event. So what's the, as far as the baseball team is concerned, what do you like about your club?
We were just talking, actually after last night's game, the chemistry of this group is pretty amazing, especially early on in the season here. You're always, bringing in new guys each year and trying to figure out roles and helping guys find ways to help the team and embrace those roles, and sometimes it takes a little longer for that chemistry to come together, but we've seen it from right away this season. These guys are it's a close group. They pull for each other, so that's been really fun to watch, and I think that's just gonna help us be successful all season.
Are you deep? Are you good? Or you just got your 12 players?
Actually, we do have a lot of depth. And sometimes that's hard because you have competition. Guys want to play. And it's, sometimes there's games where you're maybe, you're sitting that game or you're in a different role that game than you were the one before. And guys have done a really nice job accepting that and being ready when it's their turn. So it's nice to have depth because we know it's going to help us. So far, we're 4-3. We've lost three games by one run. Two of them were in extra innings. So we feel like...
You just had one the other night, didn't you? Extra
yeah, we lost a close one last night.
What was it, against Wabasha or...?
Cass and Matterville.
Okay.
Yeah, so... It's just kind of one of those, the early season baseball in Minnesota, it's sometimes it's hard to get the bats going. Our pitching's been outstanding. Defensively, we're playing really well. So I think once the bats get going, we should be fine. And just seeing the confidence that the guys have in each other, that's been huge.
Well, I mean, you're coming up into May already. And I mean, your season's going to be over in 3 weeks. And you're going to be in the playoffs, just boom, like that. So you got about 3 weeks to figure it out.
It goes fast, and I think we tell them that we can't dwell on anything here early in the season, and if you're kind of in a little mini slump, we got to work through that and keep believing that it's going to turn around, because all of a sudden, like you said, it's going to be playoffs, and that's when we got to be playing our best.
Right. How many pitchers do you have this year?
We got a great pitching staff. We had some key guys come back from last year, so... some of our seniors, Eli Mickelson and Seth Thompson, have been great. And then JT Groutman pitched amazing last night. And then we've had some other guys step in this year, too, into some bigger roles. So pitching-wise, we feel really good about the group that we have there. And like I said, defensively, been really solid so far. So
how about the bats? I mean, the bats can come and go. I mean, there's a mix of power and finesse. So, do you guys, a lot of coaches, tell you to swing for the fence every time. Doesn't matter. If you're going to swing, if you're going to go for it, go for it. Don't sit there and just whatever. There's other coaches that say, okay, take your pitch, take it, you know, if it's outside, drive it out. If it's inside, drive it in, and different things like that. Yeah. Kind of what's your philosophy on that?
You know, right now I think what we're focusing on is we've been kind of streaky. You know, we'll have a couple innings where, you know, we do some really good situational hitting and get guys in, you know, when we need to. And then all of a sudden, you know, we'll struggle for a couple innings or we'll kind of relax. And so we've had a few games with a lot of strikeouts. I think the emphasis going forward is going to be, you know, we just got to put the ball in play and make things happen. And we feel, again, with our depth, different games, different guys are stepping up. We're just kind of waiting for that game when everyone puts it together, and then that will hopefully get some momentum going forward.
Would you say it's just repetition? Because, you know, you talk about strikeouts, and to me, a lot of, you know, putting the bat on the ball, making contact of any kind, even if it's a ground ball or if it's a fly ball, but it's you're making the other team make a play. So you add the other elements, right? They still have to catch it. They got to clean it. They got to pull it. They got to throw it. They got to catch it. They got, you know, they got all those other things. But if you strike out, those things never happen. Yeah. And so it's huge to put contact on the ball. How do you get young people to realize that, look, you know, make contact. Just make contact and make something happen.
Yeah, and I think we have really good leaders on this team that are recognizing, you know, there's things that we need to keep getting better at. And, you know, maybe using these games where we have had too many strikeouts to kind of point out and move forward from, because we kind of felt like, you know, last night we had a, like I said, JT pitched amazing. We kind of felt like if we could have gotten him two runs, we'd probably come away with the win last night. So, you know, a little frustration with how things finished. So can we use that and then, you know, going into next week, make some adjustments at the plate and focus more on, all right, if I got two strikes, I need to change my approach at the plate and just kind of have that mindset that I got to put it in play.
I'll settle for a single.
That's right.
I don't need a double or a home run. So as a coach, you ever said, God, did you ever want to jump off the bench and just give me a bat?
Well, I wasn't a great hitter myself. I was more of a pitcher. So, but no, we just want to help these guys get confidence because we know the talent's there, and we just want to help them. You know, they've got goals, and we want to get them to that point at the end of the season and help them have a great season because the potential is there. So keep encouraging them, keep working with them, and help them see, like, with some little adjustments, I think we're going to have a lot of success.
Craziness. I'm looking at this. I mean, you just got postponed on Thursday against Rochester.
Yeah.
And then you turn around on Friday, and then you're able to get the game in. So, a lot of cancellations going on there. So now what? Now do they just kind of – do they try to push them all in? Or do they just say, well, too bad, this is the rest of your schedule, have a nice day? Or do they try to get them all in now? Now they get to start adding dates.
No, they will reschedule them all. So I think the next 3 weeks, we will have three or four games each week, and we're getting close to maybe we'd have a five game week, which would be.
So that's why I asked you about your pitchers.
Yeah, I mean,
can you get through them? I mean,
actually, with our varsity, I do feel like we could probably make it through. It would be. You know, rough towards the end of the week, I'm sure, but we do feel we have a lot of depth, so that's good. But we'd still want to avoid those, you know, five-game weeks. That would be tough.
Right. So what do we got? Baseball coming up, what, Tuesday? Albert Lee, what do you know about those guys?
We played them the second game of the year and beat them at home. You know, the Big Nine, you got to be ready every game. We know that. So, yeah, the Albert Lee's, since we played them, I know they've got a few wins. And so, I think for us right now at this point in the season, we're not going to really, we can't really focus on who we're playing and what the record is. It's more about we want to get on a roll ourselves and just get some momentum going.
You got Stuartville coming up, and that was the team that you had to beat to get into state last year. Are they a good opponent again this year? Or?
They're off to a little rough start here at the beginning of the year. They had an injury, I think, that was tough for them. But yeah, they'll still have a good group back, and kind of one of those teams I think that a lot of people thought would be there in the playoffs. So
very cool. So what else? So you got a couple games next week. So that one seems like the calm before the storm. In reality, because then it's baseball. Then it's crazy.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's gearing up. But anything? I mean, do you guys do anything? Does a team get together? Just do they? You hear the cross country team and the track team and everyone, and they do the bonding thing and the leadership training and stuff. You have the captains get together and stuff like that. Do the baseball team? Do you guys do kind of that stuff too?
Yeah, in some of the stuff they do just kind of on their own, like, you know, we'll hear, like, on the bus ride back, you know, we're heading over to so-and-so's house, you know, and they get together. So I think that's what's helped, you know, create the chemistry that we're seeing early on in the year. You know, we try to plan some team stuff, and then all of a sudden our schedule gets super crazy and it makes it a little challenging. But, when we get to the end of the season, we always do before playoffs start, we go over to one of our assistant coaches, get a little pool day, just kind of relax going into playoffs and have some fun there. And so, yeah, we'll definitely do some things, but our captains and our seniors have done an awesome job of just bringing everybody together this year.
So do you guys do any type of sponsorships or fundraisers or anything like that for the team? Is there a booster club or something like that helps with the baseball team at all?
Yeah, actually, we're in the middle of our fundraiser right now. We do one with Connects, with a little mulch fundraiser. So we will deliver mulch to anybody that orders from us. And
will you spread it?
That's a good question.
I think a little extra? Huh? We grease the palm a little bit? Could I get a little? Could I take it around the back?
That's up to the players. I think we're encouraging them to offer that service.
So how does it? How do you do this? What do you do? You just call Connects and say, "Hey, I want to help the." Or who do they call? How do you get some mulch in your backyard?
Yeah, well, we've done this last couple of years, so players go around and just sell the bags of mulch, and then we have a delivery day here in May where all the players. Oh, I guess, you know, mostly the parents with their vehicles.
Pickups and trailers and everything? Yeah, okay.
They come and load up their orders, and then they deliver them to whoever orders.
So are the kids going door to door and saying, hey, I'm with the baseball team, I'd like to sell you some mulch?
I don't know how many go door to door. I think, you know, they reach out to the grandparents and some others. And so, yeah, it's been a good one for us. And I know some people ask, like, hey, are you doing the mulch again? So I think it's been a good one for us to get out in the community a little bit. And I know it's a little more work for our players and families, but I do like it. And I think,
well, it builds character as well.
Bit, yeah.
Right? little hard, little exercise, little over the top.
Yep.
So it's in May, so you got a couple weeks left. So can you just call Connects and say, hey, I'd like to be a part of the baseball fundraiser, or how do you, any
I
idea?
Would say if you know a baseball player, that's where you'd want to reach out.
I don't know a baseball player, but I can use some mulch.
You you can talk to me. I can set something up for you.
Well, so, okay, if you know a baseball player or somebody, a family member of a baseball player, if you know anybody who's a baseball player, so that money helps with what?
Yeah, we've tried to do some improvements on our fields. We just got new tarps for our home plate and mounds for both our varsity and JV field. We just did a new update on our batting cage. We kind of replaced that. So we're trying to do some things there. We've got some new screens coming in because the ones that we've had are in real rough shape. So.
Sure.
Yeah, just trying to update things with, you know, some equipment and make our field look a little nicer. And this has been really helpful.
I know a lot, you know, kids obviously take care of their own gloves. That's what they do, right? You get your own baseball gloves and cleats, right? Uniforms, I think, are provided from the school, right?
Yep.
Catcher's mitts, are they provided anymore, or are they no?
You know, it's...
It's your own.
It's different than, like, when I played... You know, we used to have the team bats and all that stuff. Guys now have all their own gear.
Got it.
So most of the time they take care of all that because they're specific about, you know, what they want.
Sure. Yeah. No, we had some sponsored stuff. The catching equipment, it was usually funded, and the gloves for catching in the first baseman, I remember that. Everything else was all yours. But the bats, yes, it was commercial. There was four bats, and you figured out which one you could swing the best, and that was the bat you used, you know. Yep. And then if you didn't, you'd try to bring your own, and then, you know. And then, of course, everyone wanted to use it, then it got broke, and then it was done. And I came from a poor family, so for me to get a baseball bat and bring it out to the field, and that was like 8 weeks of the Star Tribune news delivery to get that money to get that bat. But then everybody wanted to use it. So, I saw a young man the other day, and he's got the old backpack on, but he's got four baseball bats shooting straight up in the air, walking across the street, just like, yep, I'm on my way to practice.
Yep. No, I remember my dad telling me, like, oh, make sure you don't let anybody else use your new bat now, because that was the thing. You know, there was a lot of money to get those, and all of a sudden, you know, eight guys on the team are using it.
Oh, check that out. Dude, Josh, can I use that? But then you're like, well, yeah, go ahead. You know, we want to win, too, you know? So kind of funny stuff. But so if you know a baseball player or if you know Josh, just get a hold of him. Say, hey, I need some mulch. Let's raise some money.
Yeah, we'd have to do it quick. We had to get our orders in to Connects because they're...
Today's the 26th, so you only got 2 weeks.
2 weeks until our delivery date.
Right, is it the 10th? Are you delivering the 10th or is it the 17th?
It'd be the 10th, I believe. But
so that's 2 weeks.
I know Connects would work with us. They wanted to have our orders in actually yesterday. But I think if we had to add something, we could probably make it work.
Okay.
If anybody does want to reach out.
Okay, well, it's a beautiful day today, so hopefully by the 10th it'll be absolutely gorgeous to be tossing mulch, and a couple extra bucks in their back pocket, they might carry it to the backyard.
There's a possibility.
We don't know. You got to talk to the people that are delivering. But hey, thanks for joining me, Josh. I appreciate it. We try to get the teams on, you know, before the season or right in the beginning to kind of get a feel of what you got in front of you.
Yeah.
And then obviously towards the middle and then the end so that we can kind of like, okay, is your plan working, so to speak, you know? So, and a lot of that has to do with the athletes, right? So as they progress, that's kind of how you, I'm assuming you coach your team, is you take where they're at and you just kind of, when you come into a season, do you necessarily have higher expectations, lower expectations? Do you ever, like, you know what I mean? So it's like you want to get too hyped coming off of a state appearance, right? But you still want to be excited.
Yeah, I think you find a little balance there because you don't want to, you know, come in and say that that's the, you know, the only way that it's going to be a successful season is if you get to the state tournament. But I think we saw it from the players that they have those high expectations. So then it becomes, you know, let's help them because that's what they want. And I think understanding that early on in the season, you know, things may not go our way, and we got to just continue to work at things and keep getting better. And, you know, we talk about it just at the end of the season. That's if we want to get to our goal, let's be playing our best baseball then. And I think they get that. And I think we have a good shot. I think with the talent and the chemistry that we're seeing, I think good things are going to happen.
So let's get the strikeouts down, get the batting averages up,
yep,
and let's get some runs across the plate.
Sounds good.
Sounds pretty simple.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Okay. Hi, guys. There you go. There's your homework for the next couple of weeks. Lower the strikeout ratio and increase your batting average and win. No pressure. All right, Josh. Well, I appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much. Good luck on your fundraiser.
Hey, thank you.
All right, Josh Spitzak is the head coach of the Northfield Raiders baseball team. We'll take a break. We got Meet the Raider coming up. Check this out. Who's on Meet the Raider this week? They run the camera behind the scenes so that the coaches and players can actually improve upon what they're doing. Isn't that the craziest thing ever? Yeah, it sure is. So why don't you, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do a little Meet the Raider coming up here on KYMN. 95.1 The One and AM 1080.
For more than 10 years, the Northfield Area Family YMCA has been proud to serve the greater Northfield community. No matter your age or experience level, the Y is a place where everybody belongs. The Northfield YMCA offers Child Watch, 24-hour access for qualified members, a swimming pool for lessons and lap swimming, group fitness classes, and so much more. Stop in to ask about membership options at 1501 Honey Locust Drive in Northfield. A wonderful community is waiting for you at the Northfield Area Family YMCA.
Remembering all the ways Minnesota lottery dollars help our state is easy. Just think of this acronym, Beaches Treat Cows. It stands for Bees, Education, Agriculture, Canoeing, Habitats, Endangered Species, Transit, Renewable Energy, Air Quality, Trails, Conservation, Outreach, Water, and Sustainability. See? It's easy. Since 1990, the Minnesota Lottery has raised more than $4 billion to help our very own Beaches Treat Cows. So say I'm in and play your part in helping Minnesota.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Craby, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Every day, each and every one of us at Benjamin Bus feels privileged to safely transport Northfield students to and from school and many after-school activities. We thank you for trusting Benjamin Bus with your most precious cargo, your children. At Benjamin Bus, safety is always our number one priority. Our team of drivers has over 400 years of combined experience, and they pride themselves on their record of keeping the children of this community safe. We at Benjamin Bus are proud of the accomplishments of the Northfield Raiders and wish all of the Raider student athletes a safe and successful season.
Real Radio, True Variety, 95.1, The One.
Finding the right home can feel like solving a puzzle. That's what Dean discovered when searching for a house that fit his vision and budget. He found a fixer-upper in the perfect location, but it needed work. That's when his lender from Merchants Bank stepped in. Equipped with a tool belt of loan programs, they worked to put all the pieces in place, helping Dean to turn that house into his dream home. Whatever your puzzle, Merchants Bank has the right fit for you. Merchants Bank, building dreams together since 1875. Equal housing lender, subject to approval.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Craby, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning on the Raider Wrap, running a little bit on the light side, as we tend to do sometimes. But when you get interesting people, it's interesting to have a conversation with them. And, of course, Sherry Setchell, just an outstanding conversation with her this morning with regards to the spring play that is coming up on the 8th of May. It is the Great Gatsby. And if you've had the opportunity to see The Great Gatsby in the past, you'll love the presentation that these high school kids are going to put it on coming up on May the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Get your tickets at the gate, or you can contact the high school in advance to sell it out if possible. And, of course, Josh Spitzak, the head coach of the Northfield Raiders baseball team, joining us this morning. If you missed any of it and you'd like to hear back, go to the KYMNradio.net, go to programs, go to the Raider Wrap. Select today's date, and presto change-o, wham! Just like that, you pull a bunny right out of your hat. Or you can actually just listen back and download the conversation as well. So just a couple minutes after 11, beautiful day today. Quickly, sunshine, 62. Today is the day to get out and enjoy it. Tomorrow, the winds start to whip. Tonight, they start the chance of showers. Clouds start rolling in. There's going to be a chance of some rain tonight, and then a low of around 47. Tomorrow is just going to be gusty. It's going to be blowing 40% chance of rain, a high of 64, southeast winds 10 to 15, 20 to 30 mile an hour gusts. Same thing for Sunday night, about a 90% chance of showers into Sunday night, into Monday morning, high around 76, but a lot of rain anticipated throughout the day. Windy, breezy, wind flying everywhere. So chance of some thunderstorms along the way. So if you don't like the, you know, the thunder and the booming and the lightning and whatnot, well, get yourself some earplugs and take shelter, I guess, because it's on its way. So that's what you got to look forward to here in the next couple of days. But we are just at 60 degrees. The sun is shining. A very, very light wind right now. It's gorgeous. I got to get this Meet the Raider out of here and get going myself, I think, huh? Let's check in with Grant Selko on this week's Meet the Raider.
Hello, Raider Nation. Welcome back to Meet the Raider. I'm your host, Grant Selko, and today in the studio we have photographer slash videographer Austin Mathery, a.k.a. Amstock. Thanks for coming in, Austin.
Thank you for taking your time to have me.
First off, what got you into filming and photography?
My mom's a photographer, and when my brother was in high school, he did photography. So growing up, I've always kind of wanted to do it. And I finally got the opportunity once I got to high school. I took a trip to Oklahoma with my dad, since he's a track coach. And I took photos for their D1 track team. And honestly, ever since then, I've just kept on doing it. So yeah.
How's your mom got into photography?
Honestly, I don't really know. She just kind of always did it and took photos for the Rare Pair, and then just kind of like a side thing.
Does she have like her own company?
Honestly, so she has an Instagram account that she made recently, but before that, she would just take photos for friends, and then it just kind of spread a word. People would message her, and she would go take photos for them.
Approximately how long have you been doing this?
I think it's my third year.
And what kind of things do you like to shoot?
My favorite is probably hockey. I would say my second favorite would be lacrosse. And I also recently just got into golf, and I think golf's a lot of fun to shoot.
Do you shoot anything other than sports?
I'm trying to expand my palette a little bit. I'm trying to get into – I've recently started working with a music collective. So I'm going to need to be shooting a lot of stuff for clothing, so maybe shooting models and stuff like that.
And how is that different compared to sports?
In so many aspects. I feel like I sit in like one spot and just shoot, you know, like a game. It's more action. There's more things you got to do. I feel like when I'm shooting for a music collective, for example, I can kind of be the director and shoot what I want to shoot instead of kind of capturing a moment.
Do you typically get paid for shooting these things?
For what, sports? Or
yeah, for sports.
No, I do not.
Is that okay? Like, are you just like doing it for fun?
Yeah, I don't mind it. Obviously, getting paid would be nice, but I don't mind shooting for free.
Do you do anything else other than just the videography and photography?
I do graphic design and video editing. I've been doing graphic design since middle school, and it's honestly what I want to do when I'm older. Video editing is also a lot of fun, and I've been getting into that the past couple of years. So, yeah.
What exactly do you mean when you say you want to do graphic design when you're older?
That's a good question. I don't know. Either maybe design clothes or work for a sports media. I don't know. Something just that I can be creative and work with graphic design.
And are you looking to go to like a university for that?
Yeah, I'm looking at Iowa State.
And you think they have a good program for that?
They do. I know somebody who went there, and I've heard a lot of great things about their graphic design program. So, yeah.
So when you do graphic design right now, what kind of things do you design?
I like to design, honestly, whatever comes to mind. I've been trying to get into more like abstract type of work. In the past, I've made graphics for big things that happen in sports, such as USA hockey team winning a game, like a big gold medal game, or LeBron breaking the record. I've also made stuff for our media pages. I made stuff for our sports Instagram accounts, like football, hockey, whatever. So yeah.
Typically, how long does it take for you to do this, like each time?
It takes me a while to come up with an idea. I like to scroll Pinterest to try and find an idea to you know, make something. So it takes a little bit of time, and then to actually create it, I go through a lot of trial and error, maybe about an hour.
Has anyone in your family been in graphic design at all?
No. My brother. I dabbled in it, but, you know, nothing like what I've been doing, so.
What kind of got you into graphic design?
When I was in middle school, I ran a lot of Instagram pages revolving around Minnesota pro sports. So I had to kind of teach myself how to create graphics for those accounts, and then I just kind of kept on doing it as I got older.
Do you like graphic design more than shooting with your camera?
In a sense, yeah. It's just kind of like a way to I can express myself. I don't know. I think it's just more fun for me.
What piece of work are you the most proud of?
That's a good question. I don't really know if I have one. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
What do you prefer, shooting video or pictures?
I for sure would say video. I feel like watching something is more valuable to me than taking a photo and looking at it. I like to take my time and put something together with a song and just kind of do that.
How long does it take for you to make like a video edit?
It used to take me almost all day, but as I've been getting better, I would say it takes probably 4 or 5 hours.
And when you're like, when you're making a new edit, does it like, do you have to create a plan or does it just kind of like flow as you go?
I kind of do both. I take a really long time. I would say I probably take more time than I do editing to find a song. And then once I find my song, then I kind of plan out like, what am I going to do? But honestly, as I go, I just kind of figure out what I want
to
do.
What kind of taught you to your editing skills? Did you like take a class or did you kind of just like figure it out on your own?
I would say I watched YouTube a lot. YouTube helped me out a lot. I would copy a lot of people's graphic design work and kind of make it my own. And then I also taught myself a lot of things.
How do you make your graphic design pieces reflect your personality?
I like to use colors that I like. I like to use certain images that I find that I like. I kind of put it in a certain type of way that I think is very pleasing to me. Like if somebody doesn't like it, I don't really care. It's as long as I like it, that's all that matters. So, yeah.
Out of everything you've created or shot or anything, what has been your favorite?
Like favorite type of video that I made?
Yeah, video or picture. Anything.
Well, I first started to get really good feedback once I made my first ever hockey edit with my new camera. It was like a different type of style video than I usually been doing. And then the homecoming video for football this year. A lot of people said they loved that video. That video was a lot of fun to work on. I don't know. I feel like every single time I make a new edit, I kind of just start to like that one more than the others. So
you're like almost building off of each one.
Yeah.
Have you ever hit any like roadblocks during an edit where like this just doesn't like work? And if so, like what do you do in that scenario?
Yeah, I kind of get burned. Like you mean like burned out?
Well, no, like you're going through an edit and you just like, oh, this like, doesn't look good.
Sure. Sometimes I just restart. Honestly, in total, like I've done that multiple times where I'm halfway through an edit and I'm like, this just doesn't look good. I don't like this at all. I'll just go back, choose a different song and redo the entire process, which can be frustrating, but it's, you know, whatever I gotta do, I gotta do.
Do you ever have like tight deadlines to make an edit or is it just kind of like on your own time?
Since I'm not getting paid, it's kind of on my own time, but I do get pressured a lot from other athletes to kind of get these out. So I kind of started to set a deadline for myself. Try and push myself to get these out more earlier than later.
What are some of your goals that you would say for being a photographer / videographer?
One of my goals would definitely be to go shoot at Iowa State, go shoot for their football. I believe it is kind of hard to get in and shoot for a big D1 school like that, but I think that'd be a lot of fun, great experience. I think shooting pro would be nice. I've shot at pro stadiums before for our hockey team. Yeah, and then I also want to get into stuff other than sports, which I am right now, but I want to kind of move away from sports as a total, like after high school, unless I, you know, obviously shoot for Iowa State, mm-hmm. But yeah.
Have you been in any communication with Iowa State about it?
Not yet, but once I apply, I definitely will reach out to them.
What's so special in your eyes about the Iowa State football?
They're just really, I think they're a great team. They did really good this year. They were up on the polls. Strong team. So yeah, I think it'll be fun to shoot a really great football team.
And thinking post collegiate, what would you say is like your dream job?
Ooh, that's a great question. I've been really thinking about this a lot. I used to want to work in the sports realm, but I'm, you know, I kind of want to move into something else. I don't know yet. I guess still trying to figure that out.
What's kind of pushing you away from sports?
I've been doing it my entire, like I've just been in sports my entire life, just kind of getting burned out of it. I feel like I can take my talents to other things.
Yeah. Is there any skills that you're trying to work on to maybe pursue some of those?
I would say working on my communication, meeting new people, because that can always get you in connections with other big people. Yeah, I would just say communication, because I feel like I kind of struggle with that.
And do you have any like connections with your family that you could reach out to?
Yes, I do. Since my dad was a track coach, he knows a lot of people at St. Thomas, like the coaches that he could DM or he can message that I can go and shoot for them. That's about it, but nothing like other than sports, I'd say.
Have you ever filmed track before?
No, and I might do that this year at the home meet, so we'll see.
How do you think you're going to approach it?
I kind of want to go with the cinematic style, because I like to do more. I honestly like to shoot cinematic more than I do kind of action. I feel like I'm better at shooting cinematics more than action. So maybe just kind of a more calm type of song with them running in the back, kind of slow-mo. I think that's what I'm going to do.
What separates like cinematic between like an action kind of style?
I would say cinematic for me is more slower, more up close with the people, more like reactions of like their emotions. And then action is like the play, like somebody getting hit or scoring a goal. I kind of struggle with my tracking for the players. I feel like I kind of overshoot sometimes or go too fast. So I feel like I'm better at cinematics than action.
Do you have any other hobbies outside of filming and editing?
I've been trying to get into more hobbies. I've been trying to learn an instrument. I've been trying to, yeah, I don't know. I've been trying to do more stuff other than just editing, because I don't, you know, sitting at a computer all day isn't the best for you. So you kind of want to be more active. Yeah, I'm just trying to get into more stuff.
I know you're a hockey player. Yep. Is that something you enjoy doing in the winter?
Yeah, for sure. I won't be playing next year, but I still have the opportunity to play every Wednesday, and whenever I get the opportunity, I like to play.
Who do you play for Wednesday?
It's a men's league at Shattuck and Faribault. It's just a bunch of guys who...
You've mentioned branching out from sports to other works. What are some examples of those other things you could shoot?
So with the music collective that I've been working with, they're currently manufacturing clothes and a magazine. So I'm hoping on taking pictures of the magazine and clothes, and I have a warehouse I can go to and a big studio light that I can take photos with and a backdrop. So I have everything I need. I just got to go and do it.
Are you like working for them? Like, are you going to get paid for this?
In the future, yes.
When did you start getting comfortable with editing and filming?
I would say not really until this year. I felt, since I was an underclassman, I didn't know what the older kids thought of me. Maybe they were making fun of me behind my back, or I don't know. I felt like as I got into an upperclassman, I kind of gained more confidence and was like, I'm older than a lot of these kids. I feel like I can get more expressive, and I know a lot of these kids more too. So,
mm-hmm. And do you think like having your Instagram account kind of helped you with that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of people have reached out to me and told me how great my work is, so that also helps with a lot of confidence.
How is it different running a personal Instagram account versus your sort of like official like company kind of account?
I post a lot more on Amstock. It also kind of expresses who I am a little bit more, and it's more of kind of like a portfolio for my future. Like if I was going to apply to college, I can use that as a portfolio. So
do you have anyone who kind of who you like to like model your work by?
I've had a lot of inspirations as I've gone through this. I follow a lot of people on Instagram, a lot of people from different states such as Illinois to, I don't know, I have like Maryland, Indiana, California, even people who shoot for the Gophers. I have a lot of inspirations and a lot of people that I look up to. So yeah.
How did you kind of get those connections?
They honestly just came up on my feed and I just followed them. And then as I followed them, followed more people. And then I met people that work for an Instagram. Minnesota, used to be Minnesota House Hockey, and then they expanded into other Instagram accounts, which is now. And then I met those people, got put in the group chats, and met a lot of other people. So I have a lot of connections.
Last question. What's been your most memorable event ever that you shot at?
Probably my most memorable would be my first time ever shooting at the Xcel Energy Center, getting a media pass to go up all the way up into the rafters and looking down on the ice and watching the players play, and then being able to shoot on the ice level was very memorable and something I've always wanted to do in my life.
Well, thank you for coming in today, Austin, and thank you, KYMN fans, for listening. If you missed a part of this interview live or you just want to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net, and tap on the Sports Center. You're with Grant Sulko on this week's Meet the Raider on the Raider Wrap. Tune in for more sports this week on KYMN 95.1 and the 1.
Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. My master's gone away.
Jimmy LaRue bidding you adieu for yet another Saturday morning. Enjoy the morning. It's going to be absolutely gorgeous here today.